This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9 minutes after six on this Friday morning. Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. And now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, corn for May was up 4 3/4 cents to 376 1/4. July corn was up 4 1/2 cents to 385 1/2, and September corn was up 3 3/4 to 391 3/4. Soybeans for May were up 4 1/2 to 910 1/2. July beans were up 4 3/4 to 924 1/4. And August beans were at 4 1/4 to 930 1/4. Chicago wheat for May was up 1 3/4 cents to 466 1/2. July wheat was at 471 1/2, up 1 1/2. And September wheat was up 1 3/4 at 480. Soybean meal for May was up $3.70 to 315.30. July bean meal was also up $3.70 to 318.90. And August bean meal was also up $3.70 to 320.30. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 17 cents to 29.10. July bean oil was down 18 cents to 29.42. And August bean oil was down 19 cents to 29.56. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Thursday afternoon. Markets are showing concern over the weather, flooding, and planting delays. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher, 329 to 352. Soybean bids were up 4 to 5 cents at 830 to 871. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents higher, 339 to 359. Soybean bids were up 4 to 5 cents at 842 to 872. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to 4 cents higher, 330 to 368, while soybean bids were mostly up 4 cents at 840 to 871. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 cents higher at 873 to 891. Basis was steady at 38 under to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $291.30 to $305.30 a ton, up $3.70 a ton, with basis unchanged to $24.00 to $10.00 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 5 cents higher at $357 to $370, with basis steady at $19.00 to $6.00 under the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids 5 to 8 cents higher at $359 to $364. With basis unchanged to up 3 at 17 under to 12 under the May. Soybeans ended mixed at 861 to 868, with basis down 1 to 8 at 50 under to 43 under the May. New crop wheat prices were mixed at 442 to 467, with basis steady to down 3 at 30 under to 5 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 375 to 378. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 to 6 cents, with quotations at 883 to 886. Soft wheat closed up 2 cents at 494 to 495, and Milo ended the day down 3 cents at 403 to 404. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 342 to 369, soybeans at 859 to 890. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 354 to 369, soybeans at 880 to 902. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 339 to 374, soybeans at 871 to 902, and June, July wheat at 445 to 472. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for April were up 32 cents to 129.90. June live cattle were up 52 cents to 123.90. And August live cattle were up 65 cents to 119.97. Feeder cattle for March were up 52 cents to 142.77. April feeders were at 148.92, up 60 cents. And May feeders were up $1.87 to $154 even per head. Lean hogs for April were up $4.50 to $78.32. May lean hogs were up $4.45 to $86.60 per head. And June lean hogs were up $4.50 as well to $94.75 per head. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois and U.S. Departments of Agriculture for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $3.34 higher in a range of $55 to $68 with the weighted average carcass price of $63.79. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady with light to moderate demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 28 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 31 to 36, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 39, over 600 pounds at 38 to 43. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gelts and country buying points were steady with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from 35 to 42. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gelts totaled $18,039. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 233.84 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $76.25, which was $2.20 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $229.31, which was 64 cents higher, with select carcasses at $218.37, which was 26 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 121,000 compared to 99,000 for last week and 121,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 478,000 compared to 447,000 for last week and 462,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Greenville Livestock Auction results, total receipts of 712. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 85 to 131. Slaughter Holstein steers choice 2 to 3 sold in a range of 85 to 92. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 124 to 131. Slaughter Holstein heifers choice 2 to 3 sold in a range of 61 to 91. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. The increase in mandated wages as part of the H-2A program means farmers and ranchers must pay more for labor. Michael Clemens has more from Washington.
Increases in the minimum wages mandated under the H-2A program present a challenge to farmers who are already facing tight margins. Veronica Nye, American Farm Bureau Federation economist, says the number of certified positions under the program increased 10% in the first quarter of this year compared to 2019. She says that's helping to drive up the H-2A adverse effect wage rate.
AWER, as it's more easily said, is the wage that employers through the H-2A program have to pay their employees. It's a regional weighted average rate, but it's basically the minimum you have to pay workers through the H-2A program. And the national average is $12.96, which is up 6% compared to where we were in 2018.
The biggest increases are found in the western United States.
In the western part of the United States, there are eight states that saw increases that were between 15 and 23%. Missouri, Iowa, and Florida saw small declines, but the other 39 states saw increases between 2 and 9%.
Nye says the increase represents a challenging economic environment for farmers and ranchers.
It's making it more difficult for farmers to plan. And as we look at net farm income being down 44% this year compared to where we were back in 2013, we're all feeling those squeezed margins, especially on the fruit and vegetable side. Labor is their largest cost. So when you start seeing increases of 6%, it starts really pulling at the margins for those farmers who are already experiencing a pretty challenging economic time.
Michael Clements, Washington.
A second California jury found that a man likely developed cancer after being exposed to the Roundup weed killer he used in his yard. The Wall Street Journal says it is the second case to go to trial over the alleged harm of the popular Bayer product. The six-person jury in the San Francisco-based U.S. District Court will now begin hearing evidence to separately weigh whether Bayer's Monsanto unit should be held liable. That's a decision that could bring substantial financial damages against the company, as Monsanto will now have to disclose internal documents related to the case. It's a blow to Bayer, who took over Monsanto's Roundup product portfolio when it bought the agrochemical giant last year. In a statement after the verdict was announced, Bayer says credible science doesn't support the plaintiff's case and that it plans to vigorously defend glyphosate-based products used by both farmers and consumers. The jury will have to decide whether Bayer will have to pay damages to Edwin Hardeman, the 70-year-old plaintiff. His attorneys say they look forward to presenting this evidence and holding Monsanto accountable for its bad conduct. In other news, flooding in the Corn Belt this spring could mean plenty of acres will not get planted. Consultant Bill Biderman with AgMarket.net is hearing that concern.
I don't know if it's the worst one on the books. I think if we have another 2 weeks of rain, according to Drew Lerner from World Weather, then we'll be the worst ever in history for the Corn Belt. So it's serious. Right now, I've done some preliminary numbers. There's 94 counties between Nebraska and Iowa that are in the natural disaster stage. If we just take different factors of guessing how many acres that comes out to that are tillable, it's about 1.4 million acres. And if you figure about two-thirds of that would be probably needing dozer work, which is going to probably last beyond spring. Now, that's just a guess. I mean, I could be way off on that, but we're just trying to figure out and quantize this. The other thing, too, is the bins. I mean, there's a lot of pictures that we've sent out to people that are showing them just massive devastation of grain in bin, and that grain is going to be gone, and you're not going to be able to you're not going to send your son in there with a vac to try to suck off the top of that bin. I mean, just the danger and the fumes and the lack of oxygen and everything else, it's a mess. And those bins are all splitting because of the expansion.
Biderman made his comments Wednesday morning on the RFD radio network. In other national news, the U.S. wheat growers are thrilled about a joint announcement from Washington and Brazil that says the South American country will establish a 750,000-ton quota for tariff-free wheat imports. A smallgrain.org article says U.S. Wheat Associates and the National Association of Wheat Growers welcomes the announcement because it fulfills a long-standing obligation under Brazil's World Trade Organization commitments. U.S. Wheat Associates Chairman Chris Kolstad says they are grateful to the Trump administration for championing the interests of U.S. farmers. Specifically, we say thank you to Chief Agricultural Negotiator Craig Dodd and USDA Undersecretary Ted McKinney for prioritizing Brazil's WTO commitments, he says. This new opportunity gives us a chance to build stronger relationships with Brazilian millers and a more consistent market there for the U.S. wheat. Brazil was the largest importer of wheat in Latin America, as well as the fourth largest in the world during the 2017-2018 marketing year. The move could bring some relief to U.S. farmers who have lost export sales after President Trump pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership and slapped tariffs on major trading partners, which prompted retaliation against U.S. farm goods. In state news from the Department of Natural Resources, the new license year is approaching for hunting and fishing in Illinois.
Our license year here in the state of Illinois for fishing licenses, hunting licenses, or what we call our sportsman license, which is a combination of both fishing and hunting licenses, that new year for those licenses begins April 1, and the Department of Natural Resources will put those 2019 licenses on sale starting on March 1. You can get them online and print it out at home on your computer, or you can go to any of the hundreds of retail locations in the state that sell Illinois DNR licenses and permits and get your new 2019 fishing and hunting or combination license and be ready to go when April 1 runs around.
IDNR's Tim Schweitzer says more information is available online at dnr.illinois.gov. The 2019 Illinois EQIP application deadlines have been set, and you can look to the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service for conservation assistance on agricultural and forest lands. Ivan Dozier, Illinois NRCS state conservationist, explains that the NRCS has had a long history of conservation planning with agricultural producers and forestry managers. We have the technical knowledge to develop a conservation plan for your resource concerns, and the NRCS has conservation programs to help you implement that plan. The primary financial assistance program is the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP. EQIP provides financial and technical assistance to agricultural and forest land producers. To participate, producers can apply for EQIP throughout the year. However, the Illinois NRCS has established two application deadlines for April 19th and May 17th. NRCS encourages producers to submit applications by one of those deadlines if they are interested in the program. Hundreds of Illinois producers have successfully used EQIP to address natural resource issues on their farm. Some EQIP activities include installing structures to address gully erosion, improving pastureland diversity using interseeding techniques, and improving soil health by increasing organic matter with cover crops. An Illinois special funding pool also targets monarch butterflies by creating or improving monarch habitat with stands of milkweed and nectar plants. These conservation practices can be completed through the NRCS EQIP funding pools, such as grazing land operations, confined livestock operations, organic, monarch butterfly, and wildlife habitats, just to name a few. In addition to these conservation practices, EQIP funds plan development, such as comprehensive nutrient management plans, grazing plans, drainage water management plans, and more. Producers interested in the EQIP program should submit a signed application to local NRCS field offices. Applications submitted by April 19th and May 17th will be evaluated by NRCS staff for the funding period submitted. Applicants must meet program eligibility requirements to participate in EQIP. Local NRCS field office staff will work with applicants to determine eligibility and answer ranking questions. If an application is ranked high enough to be funded, NRCS staff will work with each applicant to develop a contract. For more information on EQIP, you can contact your local NRCS field office. The one in Hillsboro can be contacted by calling 532-3361 extension 3, or the field office in Carlinville can be reached by calling 854-2626 extension 3. And finally, in events going on in the area this weekend, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders has teamed up with Victory Lane Ford and Walmart in Litchfield for the Phillip Ford Food Drive that will be held Saturday morning, March 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Litchfield Walmart. Donations will be given to local food banks, and monetary donations are also accepted. For this Friday morning, March 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.
Thank you, Gabe, and it is 6:32 on this Friday morning. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you.